Did she send you here, Bessie?
No, indeed. But I have long wanted to see you, and when I heard that there'd been a letter from you, and that you were going to another part of the country, I thought I'd just set off and get a look at you before you were quite out of my reach. I'm afraid you're disappointed in me, Bessie. I said this, laughing. I perceived that Bessie's glance, though it expressed regard, did in no shape denote admiration.
No, Miss Jane, not exactly. You're genteel enough, you look like a lady, and it's as much as I ever expected of you. You were no beauty as a child.
I smiled at Bessie's frank answer. I felt that it was correct, but I confess I was not quite indifferent to its import. At 18, most people wish to please, and the conviction that they have not an exterior likely to second that desire brings anything but gratification.
"I dare say you're clever, though," continued Bessie by way of solace. "What can you do? Can you play on the piano?"
"A little." There was one in the room. Bessie went and opened it, and then asked me to sit down and give her a tune. I played a waltz or two, and she was charmed.
"The Miss Reeds could not play as well," said she exultingly. "I always said you could surpass them in learning. And can you draw?"
"That's one of my paintings over the chimney-piece." It was a landscape in watercolours, of which I had made a present to the superintendent, in acknowledgment of her obliging mediation with a committee on my behalf, and which she had framed and glazed.
"Well, that's beautiful, Miss Jane. It's as fine a picture as any Miss Reed's drawing-master could paint, let alone the young ladies themselves, who could not come near it. And have you learnt French?"
"Yes, Bessie, I can both read it and speak it."
"And you can work on muslin and canvas?"
"I can."